Please.
Case number 142579, Eastern Arkansas, Mark Farner et al. Versus Thompson Center Arms Company et al.
Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm Jerry Schulze and Addison Goff, and I represent Mark and Charlene Barner. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Very well, the yellow light will come on, so.
Thank you. October 15th, 2010, Mark Barner was injured due to what we contend was the defective condition of a gun manufactured by Thompson Center, Inc. In 2012, Thompson Center, Inc. merged with Thompson Center, LLC. On October 11th, 2013, we filed suit in Dallas County, Arkansas, against Thompson Center, Inc., Thompson Center, LLC, and some John Does. You can see from the complaint and the affidavit that we weren't sure what the corporate structure was. On January 24th, 2014, we completed service on the agent for service of Thompson Center, Inc., the former corporation. Now, there were two complaints and summonses, one for Inc. and one for LLC, and this was on Thompson Center's registered agent that was the register shown on the website, the North New Hampshire Corporation website, on October 11th, 2013, and you can see that in Appendix 158. We filed an affidavit for proof of service in Dallas County on January 30th. I believe under Arkansas law that counts completing the attempted service. On February 8th, that would have been 120 days after the complaint was filed.
Hold on, rewind for a second. CT was not the registered agent for the LLC, right?
Correct.
Okay, so are you saying that, I'm not sure you argued this, but do you think the service of process on LLC, which is the surviving entity, right?
Yes.
You're not saying that was sufficient under Arkansas law, are you?
It depends on what sufficient you mean. Sufficient as service? Absolutely not.
Okay.
Sufficient to bring into play our saving statute? Absolutely yes.
Okay.
Because what happened is they filed the notice of removal, and in that notice of removal, they allege, among other things, that defendant Thompson Center had been served with a copy of the summons and complaint. Now, they're not admitting that it was valid service. As a matter of fact, they reserve the right to challenge the validity, but they recognize that they got it. Now, after an extension of time to answer, TC moved to dismiss, saying that we didn't get proper service. Arkansas requires strict compliance for service of process. Under Arkansas law, if this case had remained in an Arkansas state court, it would have been dismissed for failure to get service. But the dismissal would have been without prejudice under the Arkansas savings statute. Now, the important issue we need to address is the Arkansas savings statute. That is the public policy issue in this case, and the issue is state law governs. And state law on the savings statute, that's part and parcel of our law about the statute of limitations. Under the Arkansas savings statute, all we have to do is file our complaint within the statute and then complete timely service, valid or invalid, on a defendant. Now, the important thing here is, what does it mean to complete timely service? You have to look at the cases. You got to look. I think there are four cases that are particularly relevant: Lyons 1 and Lyons 2. Lyons 1 is the case where we find out what happened in Lyons 2. What happened there is the deputy sheriff shows up at the place of business and asks for an officer. There's not one, and so he leaves without serving anyone. Now, in Lyons 2, the court says all you have to do to invoke the savings statute, it was correct to dismiss Lyons 1. But in Lyons 2, all we had to do, or all the plaintiff had to do, file within the statute, which was done, and complete timely service on defendant. So the deputy sheriff showing up without serving anyone and filing a return completes timely service under Lyons 1 and Lyons 2. The next case that I think is very important for understanding what's going on here is the McCoy case, and I had the privilege of being involved in that case. Basically, what happens is we're suing Dr. McCoy and his clinic. But the important thing that is there is the service was on someone who was not his registered agent. Now, under Arkansas law, that service is no more good than our service on Thompson Center, Inc.'s old agent for service process for purpose of good service. But for purpose of the savings statute, the Arkansas Supreme Court said that's all we needed. Now, you go to probably the best case to read. If you're just going to have to read one case to try to understand Arkansas's savings statute, that would be just Judge Price Marshall's decision in the Klaus case, Klaus versus Nuvan II. I'm sure I mispronounced that name. However, he makes a very good explanation of the history of all of the cases under the savings statute, including some of the cases that the defendant here relies on today. It becomes clear that when there's no service at all, or when the attempt of service is late, or when you attempt to serve by mail and it comes back to you, therefore not completed, that's not good enough to invoke the savings statute. But if you make a good faith effort, and the good faith language comes from Reddick, it comes from, Sullivan, there's no question that it does require good faith. But we've shown good faith here. We've got an affidavit that we didn't know, and we've got a printout in the record of what we relied on to serve Thompson Center, Inc. That's good enough under Arkansas law to invoke the savings statute. So under Arkansas law, we should have been entitled to the benefit of that savings statute.
TC accepted service on behalf of both, didn't
it? Yes.
And it gave you a receipt on behalf of both?
That's correct. Now,
did it ever inform you that LLC was not, it wasn't a registered agent for the LLC?
Not until the motion to dismiss was filed. I think that's the first notice we had of it. And that is another thing. It's a good point because commonly, I've tried to serve people a lot, and commonly you do serve the wrong people. And if you serve a corporation company or one of these corporate service companies, and it's someone they don't represent, they usually get back with you and tell you, hey, you got the wrong guy. But that never happened here.
Is the fact that in Klaus, Lyons, and McCoy, the process server was not the plaintiff or the plaintiff's attorney, rather than, I guess it was a process server. Does that make any difference, the identity of the person who attempts the service?
No, it doesn't, as long as it's timely attempted. And I think in Klaus, it was McCoy, I think, actually, in my case, it was a certified letter that was signed by just a nurse at the clinic rather than an agent for service. Now, it does not matter as long as you have made that timely attempt and it was completed. Completed timely attempt is basically the standard. If you look at some of the cases that the defendant relies on, there is one other thing that needs to be made clear. Some of the cases, the Sidney Moncrief case and the Trust Clair case, those are second dismissal cases. They have nothing to do with the savings statute because it doesn't work on a second dismissal. But they rely on Sublett versus Hips. No service. They rely on Bodiford versus Betts. No service. You rely on Keener, where you had two attempts. One was certified mail returned as unclaimed. Once it's returned as unclaimed, it's not completed. The completed element's not met. So he decides, I'll serve the Secretary of State. But he doesn't do that until after 120 days have run. Posey. There was an admission at the hearing that there was never even an attempt to serve the complaint. So the original, you know, actually there were two complaints. The original was served, but it was a nullity, and the amended complaint, which was not a nullity, was never served. So if you look at the history of all of these cases, you'll see that under Arkansas law, the effect is that if this had never been removed, the case must be dismissed without prejudice, and we get to file again. Now, where did the trial court go wrong? I think the trial court went wrong in three places. Number one, attempting to distinguish Klaus and McCoy based on the idea that the plaintiff correctly served process on the legal entity being sued in those cases. Actually, no, they didn't in neither one of those cases, because the legal entity in those cases was the doctor. And service on somebody that's not your agent for service doesn't work. Now, in Klaus, there was the point, they made the point, you didn't serve her at home. If you'd served the wife at home, that would have been good enough under a different provision of the Arkansas rules. But we're dealing with Arkansas law here, and service on these people actually was no better than our service on the former agent for service. But it was still good enough to allow us to refile. Second, the trial court had some reasoning that our service didn't constitute enough, attempted service enough. I think the language enough is in the decision. There is no enough in Arkansas case law. It's either it's completed or not completed. Yes or no, on or off, one or zero for computer programmers. It's just an attempted completed service. Finally, the judge said, well, if we're right, then we could serve any individual and then take advantage of the savings statute. That's not right either. It still has to be good faith, and the good faith requirement is set out in several cases. So savings statutes, which must be interpreted liberally, should preserve this case. Now, what is the effect once we move from state to federal court? Once we've moved from state to federal court on the 14th, when February 14th, when the case is removed, it is our position that at that point, federal law starts to apply. And it's also at our point the clock starts running on the extra 120 days. We filed an amended complaint to correct both our client's name, that's embarrassing, sorry, but it happened, and the defendant's name, which we didn't know before and we did learn later. So that service was within 120 days of the date of removal. So under federal law, the case shouldn't have been dismissed at all. And so that's why the district court decision must be reversed, and this case should be remanded for trial. If you don't have any other questions, I'll save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Very well. We'll hear from counsel for the appellee.
Yes. Thank you.
You may proceed.
Anthony Pisciotti on behalf of Thompson Center.
You may want to raise the lectern a bit so you speak directly into the, somewhere there's a button.
It gets
on
all the way up, maybe.
Oh, okay. Very
yep. Good. Sorry, I could hunch, Joe.
Well.
All of those arguments ignore one very important thing, which is the binding precedent from the Arkansas Supreme Court on this issue, and that's the Brennan case. It's 372 Arkansas 50, and that was decided after all of the cases that were relied upon by the appellant. That completely disposes of this good faith attempt argument. In that case, involved a car accident, an individual made service on a father of a driver at the father's place of business. The Arkansas Supreme Court said that's not good service. It was not done within 120 days. The case was dismissed with prejudice. And I think that's probably where the appellant goes wrong on this case. Now, you know, the facts are what they are, and I don't believe the facts or the law are subject to any dispute. It was a 2010 accident. For whatever reason, the plaintiffs decide on the eve of the expiration, 4 days before the 3-year statute's about to expire, to serve. From there, they have 120 days to serve. Why they don't serve closer to the beginning of that 120 days rather than the end is a decision that only they made. It's not something that the defendant has control of. The procedure, Rule 4 under the Arkansas Rules of Civil Procedure, subsection I, specifically allows them, if they need more time, to ask for another 120 days on a showing of good cause. They don't do that. The cases are also very clear. When you don't do that, you don't make proper service within the first 120 days, the case gets dismissed with prejudice. And that's the Neely v. Cangas case, which is very appropriate, which is when the motion for additional time to serve was granted on the 121st day. And the court said, no, sorry, you didn't do it pursuant to the rules. It's dismissed.
You, the very first case you cited was what?
I'm sorry. Brennan.
Brennan?
B-R-E-N-N v. Wadlow, Supreme Court of Arkansas.
It's the
2008
case?
2008. Yes, Your Honor.
Is that in your brief?
I believe it is. I can find it if you'd like.
I don't see it in your table of authorities. And are you saying that that overrides, that it overrules Lyons?
Yes, Your Honor.
Does it specifically say that it overrules Lyons?
I believe it does, Your Honor.
You say it's Brennan, B-R-E-N-N?
Yes.
I have a copy. If you'd like a copy.
Wait a minute. That was my question. I was going to ask you on your outside of your argument. I don't recall reading that case.
I know it was cited because I have it in our materials.
Well, okay. It's not in the table of, well. Maybe it's in Mr. Schultz's reply brief.
Would you like me to look, Your Honor?
The case, I mean.
Well, it'd be nice if it's in your brief.
Right, it'd be nice if we could have read it beforehand. It might have cast a different light on our thinking, or my thinking about it.
I mean, I'm not sure you get to argue things that aren't in your brief. It's not a brand new case, is it?
It's 2008.
Well.
I don't know why it wouldn't have been in the table of contents. I know it was.
You think it's in the brief?
I believe it's in the brief, Your Honor. I'm certain of it because I asked for all the cases in the brief.
Okay.
If it's in the brief,
we'll find it. See, I'm trying to remember whether Judge. All right. Well, anyway, go on with your argument, if you would, please.
Yes.
Would you state the site just so I can find it later if it is in here and I am inclined to consider it?
It's 372 Arkansas 50, which is also 270 Southwest 3rd, 831.
Thank you.
I think it's unassailable that the Arkansas courts have said that the service requirements are strictly construed. There are numerous cases that are cited that basically say if you don't serve within that 120 days, if you don't ask, file the motion for an extension for an additional 120 days, the cases will be dismissed. And the saving statute is never triggered unless the case is properly filed within the statute of limitations, and that includes the service within 120 days. The case is not timely commenced under Rule 4I. If completed service is not done within that 120 days. And here, what we have is it's undisputed that as a matter of public record, Thompson Center Arms Company, Inc. was merged in April 26th of 2012. At that point in time, the only entity that existed was Thompson Center Arms LLC.
Since I don't have the benefit of Brennan, let me assume that Lyons 1 and Lyons 2 govern. Do you lose if Lyons 1 and Lyons 2 govern?
No.
Why?
Because they're...
Didn't they act in good faith? CT was the Inc.'s registered agent. CT accepted service for LLC and Inc. CT gave them a receipt. Nobody told them. It seems like a good faith attempt to me.
It's not a good faith attempt given the circumstances that we have. First of all, I don't believe the record says that there was a receipt of service on behalf of Thompson Center LLC. I do not believe that that's part of the record, and I don't think that representation is accurate. With respect to Thompson Center, Inc.
Is there any evidence they rejected the LLC?
Well, LLC was never served. Why would they have to reject?
Well, my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, that a service of process was given to CT both for Inc. and LLC. And CT accepted both.
But CT can't accept on behalf of LLC because they're not their agent.
Well, I understand. Did they do anything to reject that and say, we're not the registered agent for LLC? Take this back.
I don't believe CT could do anything either way on behalf of LLC. They're not their agent, so they couldn't bind them and they couldn't reject them.
They can certainly say, we're not the agent of the LLC. Go away.
I suppose they could do that, but I don't know what CT did or did not do in that regard.
All right. So my question is there any evidence that they rejected the service that was intended for LLC?
No, because I don't believe they were served with a summons and complaint for LLC. They were served with a summons and complaint on behalf of Inc.
Only Inc.?
I believe so, yes.
Maybe you've already answered this, but does the record reveal whether the registered agent for TC, whether he ever provided TC LLC with the complaint?
Whether CT provided LLC with the complaint?
Right. Is the record so?
The record, I don't believe, shows that. What we can tell you is we know because we had knowledge of the complaint because clearly we removed the case. However, the case law is also clear that knowledge of a lawsuit is not enough to fulfill due process. So just the fact that you know that there's a lawsuit filed doesn't comply with due process, and it also doesn't comply with the strict requirements of Arkansas Rule 4. Now, Rule 4 is a strict compliance state. I should say Arkansas Rule 4 is strictly has to be strictly complied with. There are other states that are substantial compliance states. Arkansas is not one of them. The plaintiff would like this to become a substantial compliance jurisdiction, but I submit that they have to take that up with the legislature. This is a strict compliance jurisdiction, not substantial compliance. All of the information with respect to these companies were publicly available, and in fact, they were known to counsel for the plaintiff. He's had other cases against my client. He clearly knows where they are and how to find them. For whatever reason, it just wasn't done in this situation.
Well, as you say, Arkansas is a strict compliance state, but the savings statute is supposed to be liberally. Are the two concepts in conflict with each other?
No, because the savings statute only becomes triggered when there is a valid, timely commenced case. And the notes with respect to Rule 4 are very clear that you'd never trigger the savings statute if the case is considered dead for failure to comply with the statute of limitations.
Timeliness issue or the service itself?
It's the service issue. It has to be completed. The 120-day requirement is very, very strict. Arkansas wants to have formality with respect to its service rules so that there is consistency, as the opinions have said. Without that, then there's simply no consistency with respect to what commences an action, what doesn't commence an action. There are the ample cases that say if service is not made, valid service is not made within the 120 days, you never get to the savings statute. It just doesn't apply. I would submit that the Marshall case from this court is very similar. It dealt with South Dakota, but the principles that were applied by this court are on point. And with respect to Judge Gritzner, the Colasante v. Wells Fargo case that you decided was as close to on point as we could get to the facts of this case.
If we were to hold that the savings statute does apply, for purposes of argument, let's say we hold that it applies, do you agree that the plaintiff completed service post-removal under Section 1448?
I don't believe that they completed service pursuant to the Arkansas rules post-removal. What they had to do and what they were clearly knowledgeable of was they had to file a motion for an additional 120 days if they had any problems. If they filed that motion asking for an additional 120 days and showed good cause, then they'd have that additional 120-day period to serve properly. They didn't do that. And the case law is very clear on that, which is that's the mechanism. It's 4I of B, I believe. I'll be able to give it to you. And there's, again, strict compliance with that provision. If that motion is not made within the 120 days and the order is not issued within the 120 days, the later service is just null. It's not valid. And that's Neely v. Cangas. And it's 4I sub 2. No, the service would not have been valid at that point. After the 120 days without the motion, there can be no valid service under the rule.
I went through the entire brief, and I don't see the Brennan opinion cited anywhere.
I don't know why, then, Your Honor. I apologize.
Not very helpful.
Thank you.
Very well. Mr. Schulte?
Yes, Your Honor. The reason I think that you don't find the Brennan case in the defendant's brief is because whoever wrote defendant's brief probably shepherdized it and found it distinguished in Klaus. They said, we note one new decision that appears to break this pattern and cite Brennan. They say, this decision does not mention or address Lyons 2. To be sure that the Brennans made no argument from Lyons 2 or similar cases, we have reviewed the records and the briefs in Brennan. The Brennan plaintiffs never relied on Lyons 2 or argued that their timely but defective service commenced the case and told the statute of limitations period.
So it doesn't explicitly overrule the Lyons cases?
Doesn't mention the Lyons case, Your Honor. And this is one of the several cases in that the defendants rely on in their brief that Klaus basically takes care of, because Klaus, being in late 2000, I don't remember the date, it was in 2008 after Brennan, obviously, it wasn't that late, but it was after Brennan. But the important thing to notice is that if they're saying that Brennan is their case, Brennan has been distinguished and Lyons governs. Now, they say, why didn't they serve earlier? Under Arkansas law, that's legally irrelevant. Why didn't we ask for more time? We thought we had service. That's why. Nobody told us we didn't. The Marshall case is not legally similar for this reason. The Marshall case turns on the fact that under the law of that state, and I should remember, but I doubt, I think it was South Dakota, but I'm not sure, the case was time barred, legally dead as time barred. Under Arkansas law, the case would have been dismissed, but not as time barred. It would have been dismissed for failure to serve process, which is different, not legally dead. Just as in the Rice case that we cited, the Rice case talks about the non-suit rights that lawyers in Virginia have and talk about it being a very important right. Well, in Arkansas, the savings statute is an equally important public policy. And since that exists, the case is not legally dead. Since the case is not legally dead, Marshall provides no guidance whatsoever. We served LLC, and Gail Nelson signed for it, and that's on pages 84 through 87 of the appendix.
Are you still contesting the dismissal of Inc.?
Are we still? Yes, we are, but I didn't want to make that a big deal in this particular argument, because the important issue here is the savings statute.
Isn't New Hampshire law pretty clear that all of the liabilities transfer to the surviving entity?
Yes, but that doesn't mean you can't sue it.
Have any assets, I'm not sure, and all the liabilities go to the surviving entity, what sense does it make?
It's going to be a contractual issue whether or not a suit against the no longer existent entity gives us a right to then get subrogation back from LLC. You'll notice I didn't argue about that, and the reason was that's really not terribly important to our argument. I think the right to get a judgment against a non-existent corporation and then to chase that money is a whole lot less valuable than the right to get a judgment against an existing corporation, and that's what we want to do. The savings statute just requires, all the savings statute litigation is about a mistake. In every case where this gets filed, there is some kind of failure of the service, and that can happen often in Arkansas because of our strict compliance rule. There is no conflict between the savings statute and the strict compliance. The strict compliance goes to whether or not your service is good for going on forward with your lawsuit. The savings statute, on the other hand, is liberally construed for the purpose of protecting your rights if for some technicality you lose your right to go forward. So that's why that is not a a difference. And under under 1448 federal law, got 14 seconds, under 1448 federal law does apply once the removal has happened. You don't look to Arkansas, you look to federal law, and that's why the case shouldn't have been dismissed at all. Thank you. My time's up.
Thank you. The case is submitted, and we'll take it under consideration. Well, as this morning arguments demonstrated once again, some of the most interesting cases we get on the court are from Arkansas, and they are always vigorously argued. We thank both sides for the arguments.
And we Arkansans are proud to bring you complicated issues.
Well, thank you. The court will be in recess until 8:30 tomorrow morning.